What I'm going to talk about this morning is the power of influence. And I think for studying this lesson, almost every chapter in every book on the Bible, in the Bible, has some pieces of it that talk about influence. We're in Acts in our morning class this morning, and we're finding out that everywhere Paul goes, he influences someone to react. What is influence? Influence is the power of a person or a thing to affect others' actions or decisions. You know, and I wondered what things were, but as cars come towards you and you swerve for them, they can be counted as things. So things fit into this pretty well. Influence, the power of persons or things to affect others' actions or decisions. Christ talks about influence in a parable in Matthew, and he also talks again in 1 Corinthians about influence. And it's the influence of the unleavened bread is his example. We find 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. And in Matthew 13, 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. As compared to the whole loaf, and one of my favorite foods, and my wife will tell you this is true, seems to be bread. And I really like bread, and the bread that I don't like is unleavened bread. And when you travel throughout the world, you get a lot of unleavened bread when you order meals, and I don't know why they do that, but they must not have the yeast. But knowing that's something that I really like, the yeast that you put in bread and the little dinky bit that you put in there, it's amazing what it does to a loaf of bread. Christ uses that as an example, and we think about how small that is. People in here that cook think about how small that amount of yeast that they put in that to make that bread react, and that is the power of influence. There's two verses here, and they're about two different things. The first verse I read to you in 1 Corinthians is about the church, and it's about members of the church, and it's about how the attitude of the church can change, either positive or negative, or good or bad. And he says that it just takes a few members to have a church react. And he says that the church should react to those members, try and influence them back into the fold, or maybe let them go to another church or let them go to another membership to make sure that the church stays pure. And then in Matthew 13:33, we find another example where he talks about the kingdom. He talks about how Christ is going to come down, and Christ is such a small part of the world, and that small part of the world is going to influence the world as yeast does with bread, and it's going to affect the entire kingdom, the entire world. In everything you do and say, you have a role to play. Every minute of the day, have you ever noticed how one example, good or bad, can prompt others to follow? How if you illegally park your car, when you come out of wherever you parked, you'll find other cars parked around you. And that's just a small example of how one act causes other people to do the same thing. Others will do likewise. How and when you're in a meeting, how just one person can ruin that meeting. Just the comments or the attitude of one person can ruin that meeting. And it can be the opposite. One person in a meeting can make the meeting and make it so you get something out of it, so that it influences you in a positive way, so that you want to come back and you want to have another meeting and you want to speak to that individual. So it works both ways. There's an anonymous saying out there that I can't believe they can't find the writer to this, but it's a pretty good saying. The world needs more people who do not borrow from integrity to pay for expediency, whose handshake is an ironclad contract. who are as honest in small matters as in large ones, who know how to win with grace and lose with dignity. I'd like to give you some examples of evil influence. The first example of evil influence, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, is in Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, we find out where the serpent tries to influence Eve, which he does, and Eve influences Adam, and then God takes over from what they did. But as I'm reading this, the thing that I got out of it, reading it a couple times, was how that Eve wasn't startled from an animal talking to her. So I wonder back then what the Garden of Eden was like, and we'll never know because this is the only account we really have. Did the animals of the Garden of Eden talk to individuals and converse? Maybe they did. But I know they don't today, and I'm thinking maybe this is the reason why they don't today. I can't imagine our dogs talking to us when we come home. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good of food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, which her and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We find here that the influence was very strong, and is very strong, between people. We can all influence each other in many ways. Herod was influenced. Another example is in Matthew 14. And we're going to see here in Matthew 14 where Herod wants to show the power that he has, and it backfires on him. Matthew 14, 6 through 12. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them was sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and gave to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Here we find that the power that you're given, or the influence that you have, or the position that you hold, or the job that you hold, or the supervisor, or head of the household, we all have the power of influence. He thought that no one would take advantage of the power that he had, and he found that he was wrong. And I'm sure that affected his life from that point on, of how he was influenced and how he made decisions. What we read, see, and hear influences us. So those perceptions that we have influence how we react. We draw our own conclusions. We may not ask as many questions as we need to ask. We all draw a conclusion when we see something. Maybe good, maybe bad. We find in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." If we don't read, see, or hear evil thoughts, then we will not be evil. Pretty simple. Well, it sounds simple. I'm not sure that that's possible, but it sure sounds simple. If we join in with evil conversation, evil books, evil movies, then people think we approve. They will think that we approve of those things. It's amazing the language that we have today. I remember when I was growing up, I thought the language was the cuss words and the words that had to be put in every sentence and the slang words. I didn't think that it could get any worse as I was growing up, and I really don't think it's got any better. I think it just continues to get worse as we go on and on. And that influences someone else to think that that language is okay and that they can go forward and do that. We influence by example. Let's look at righteous influences. I found a poem that was titled, "Each Writes a Gospel." Each of us write a gospel. "You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?" And I found another poem that talked about mothers influence daughters and fathers influence sons. The eyes that are upon you, there are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly... There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do anything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicious ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. And you can either put a boy or a daughter, mother-daughter, father-son. But we think that people aren't paying attention. And when you think someone's not paying attention, that seems to be when they are. So we need to be careful every day to try and be an example, to try and raise our kids so they want to be here and worship God on Sunday. They want to be here on the first day of the week. We find another example in 2 Timothy 1 through 5 that says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." This example of faith being passed down generation to generation. And if you think about the influence that these two individuals had to be in the Bible to talk about that influence and that faith that they passed down through their family. Wife influences their husband in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear." Wives can influence their husbands probably more than anybody else can. A man, a strong man, a strong-willed man, a proud man, will listen to their wife more than they will anyone else. God knew that. And I think that's why he puts this in the Bible, is because a devout wife, more often than not, will bring a husband to Christ. We are commanded to be a good influence. We find this in Matthew 5:13 and also in Matthew 5:14 through 16. Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Here we find that we are the salt of the earth. We are what gives the earth meaning. We are what it makes it taste good. Christians and God's word are what was meant to be on this earth. We are the salt of the earth. We find another example in Matthew 5:14 through 16 that talks about we are the light of the world. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." We are to go throughout the world and influence others to follow Christ by our example. Here we find that we are to go amongst everyone of the world. It teaches us that we are to travel and we are to be a good example, and we are to show others Christ and bring them to Him. In Revelation 14:13, we can influence lives after we are dead. And we talk about that every now and then when we talk about the people that have died and gone. We still influence each other even after we leave. And it says this in Revelation 4:13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." We find, "and their works do follow them." We remember what they did. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing may take heart again. If you think about that, we leave a trail in the sand everywhere we go. We leave footprints. Some last, some do not. Some will follow, some will see our footprints, some will go down the same trail that we've left. We need to know if our footprints are on the right path, as we find in Matthew 7:13 and 14. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." To tell everyone how we're doing on influencing others, I did a web, see if I could find survey. And I found a survey where 10,000 high school students had been paid to answer 21 questions. And what they found was a third of them did not believe in the Bible, and two-thirds did. They were also asked what phrase they'd been taught that influenced their lives the most. What phrase could they recite? And 90% of them wrote down the golden rule. And I'm sure they heard that from their parents and their teachers and some other things. 75% of them wrote down, "If you can't say something good, then don't say anything at all." And I have a bad habit. I say that a lot. So that survey was interesting to see. I couldn't see any surveys that had anything to do about parents, about the influence of parents. So all I could find was surveys on kids. If I can leave you with one thought this morning, it would be careful in what you say and do. Someone is always watching you. This emphasizes again just how important family is, both biologically and spiritually, in this world today. We do make a difference. The family of this church makes a difference. the family members and the individual units make a difference. In closing, I'd like to say again, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true, say, what is the gospel according to you? And with that, we'll offer the gospel invitation to anybody that has needs that they need to bring forth before the congregation or would like to place membership and be baptized into Christ. Please come forward as we stand and sing.